You're listening to Foster Carer Stories on the Adoption and Fostering podcast. In this episode, Sylvia shares her story about becoming a foster carer after retirement.
My partner and I have been together for over 22 years, and about 2 years after we had been together, she decided that she wanted to have a child. So she went to the doctor. Turns out she couldn't get pregnant. Then we just kind of dropped it, you know. But I knew all along that she wanted to have a little baby. But because, you know, we were younger and we had our careers and my grandkids, we just never ever really addressed it. About 4 years ago, I decided that I was going to tell my two oldest grandsons a story about being in foster care. And I had come across a publishing company called Green Frog. This lady who owns the company had asked me if I could read a couple of books that she had in Spanish from some authors, and if I could please write a review in Spanish and then post the reviews. And I said, yes. After I did that, I sent her a little message saying, if I had some ideas to write a book, what would I do first? How would I go about it? So she said to me, send me your ideas. Sent them over to her. She wrote back to me and she said, there's nothing like this out there. So that's how I began writing the Foster Heroes children's series. And book one is all about one of my grandkids. My two oldest grandsons were taken into foster care at the age of about 5 or 6. And up until they were 18 and they aged out of foster care, my son and I tried getting them back. The judge would always give them back to the mom. So it was years of watching these two boys and living their life along with them. Like I tell you, book one is about the journey of one of my grandsons. Book two, I decided to use my granddaughter because I only have one granddaughter. Both of those books contain all of my grandkids. You know, they're all little characters in the story. Because of the research that I had to do in order to write these books, I was devastated, okay? When I would sit down to write, every time that I would sit down to write, I would just become overwhelmed and I would cry because there's over 400,000 children in foster care in the United States alone. And then to find out the statistics on foster kids who age out of the foster care system, that only 2% make it, and the other 98% end up in jail, they end up dead, they end up on drugs, they end up homeless, that it just tore my heart apart. My partner would read the stories along with me, and we would both be devastated. And we kind of talked about, you know, what it would be like to actually look into adopting and at least be able to help one child. We kind of left it up in the air. And about a year ago, a little over a year ago, I decided it was about to be my birthday. I was about to turn 64. And I thought, wow, 64, that's a huge number. I've never been 64 before. What can I do for the rest of my life that can make a difference in somebody else's life? And without telling my partner, I contact the DCFS out here in California, which is the Department of Children and Family Services. Started talking to a social worker, and I began the process all by myself. And I did not say anything to my partner at all. And I went to an orientation. I did all the paperwork. You know, you've got to do a background, fingerprint, life scan. I did all that. And because my kids and my grandkids live in Phoenix, Arizona, I'm out in California. And one day I decided I was going to go visit them. Felt like seeing them. On my way to Arizona, the social worker called me up and said, oh, you've been approved. Well, that made it very real. You know, it was no longer like, surprise. It's you've been approved. You are in line now to get a real child. My son is 40 years old. My daughter is 35. My oldest grandson is 23. My youngest grandson is 8. So I've been retired from teaching for 9 years. You know, the thought of starting over again didn't faze me at all. The thought of that many foster children, many, many of them, have to learn how to survive in a system that pulls them out of their homes. And whether they have good or bad parents, those are the only parents that they know. And it's very scary and it's very frightening for them. And they sometimes they end up in homes that are even worse than the ones that they left. So foster children end up with many survival skills and many manipulation skills because that's how they survive. And that didn't faze me at all. So I decided to turn around after I was headed to Arizona, turn around and show up at my partner's job and say, guess what? Remember that kid we talked about getting one day? Well, we're going to do it. So then she also then began the process, and it took a year. It took a little over a year of class after class after class. And let me tell you, there was one at one point where I almost got up and left because it's so heart-wrenching to find out what foster kids have to go through, what they survive, and why so many of them don't survive. And it's not because I was scared. It's because it was just so much. I just felt like I just couldn't handle it anymore. And I consider myself to be a pretty tough person. Anyway, decided to stay. We ended up getting what's called an adoptive social worker. And the adoptive social worker then began after we had gone through every class and, you know, had a home inspection and interviewed several times. And it was a really, like I said, it was a long, long process. The adoptive social worker then started sending us links to children, like, for instance, Adopt US Kids. There are different organizations that have foster children who are up for adoption because parent rights have been terminated. And I finally took a deep breath, started clicking on some of these links. Oh my gosh, it was amazing how fast you can fall in love with a child that you've never met before. You know, you read a little bit about their profile and their background, and you look at their little faces. We went through about 3 or 4 kids that we had selected, and for different reasons, we were not matched up to them. We went to an event that they had. It's called a matching event, and the social workers show up. And they have a big screen, and on the screen, you know, they show the picture of the children that they're there representing, and they talk a little bit about the children. At the end of the event, you're given a form, and then you can choose which children you're interested in. The whole time that we had been doing this, my partner wanted a little boy. And, you know, because I've got all grandsons, she has nephews. And so she just figured, oh, little boys are so cute. Let's just get a little boy. While we were there, there was a little girl who the news, one of the news stations out here in California, they do something called Wednesday's Child, and they feature children who are up for adoption. I was blown away when my partner fell in love with this little girl. And so we went to talk to the social worker about her. A few days later, I get a call saying we were matched. And so we knew, you know, that that's our journey as older people was about to begin with an 8-year-old child. It's been 2 months now that we've had her. Was it easy? No. You know, it's like I told the social worker, I taught for 30 years. I had second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade. I even had sixth graders who were supposed to be some of the most difficult little creatures on the face of the earth. I worked with children with autism. I raised 2 kids, and I'm very close to all my grandkids. All this training that I've had was meant for this child that I have now. It has, you know, in just 2 months, it has been one of the most worthwhile experiences. You know, I don't think that I can say, oh, we got a child because we needed to be fulfilled or our lives were empty. Oh, gosh, no, you know, by all means, you know, it was just the two of us. We could pick up and travel, go wherever we wanted. And our lives changed totally. And for the better. And so, like I tell you, I think because of what my grandkids went through, because of all the research that I had to do about foster care, because in the books that I wrote, I also had to be really careful with the language. So, you know, I went through several social workers interviewing them. Is this correct? Is this what would be said? And just to find out the statistics. And, you know, somewhere along the line, I got this idea. Oh, my gosh, I don't remember right off the top of my head the number of baby boomers. There's so many of us, and there's so many foster kids. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if we could match baby boomers to foster kids? But you know how many baby boomers really, really want to give up their retirement, you know, and taking a child? Not many, you know? Once I found out, you know, that this was going to happen, I actually did take another trip to Arizona, and I sat my son, my daughter, and their spouses down. No grandkids, just the 4 of them. And I said, I have something to tell you. This is what I'm planning on doing. And I really thought, you know, my son and my daughter were the first thing out of their mouth. I thought they were going to say, Mom, you're so old. But you know what they said to me? Mom, if anything ever happens to you, we'll take the little kid in. And I looked at them and I was like blown away by that was their thinking, which was totally unexpected, you know, because like I tell you, I thought they were going to say, nah, you're too old, you know. So I had a thumbs up from all 4 of them. When we were a little bit more into the process, and I knew for sure, you know, this is like real. This is real life. There is going to be a little kid moving in and coming to my home who's going to live with us. What I did is that I bought gifts for every single one of my grandkids. And I sat just my grandkids down. And I told them this is going to happen. You know, I told them, you may not understand statistics, numbers, you know, the research, but this is what happens. This is how many foster kids there are. The idea that I could help just one. And I said, I want you to know that even though there's going to be a new member of the family, you all are my grandchildren, and you will always, always have a place in my heart. And so, you know, they were excited. They would always call me, and they would always text me, where's the little kid? When's the little kid coming? Have you heard about anything about the little kid? And then finally, when the little kid finally did move in, they were, you know what, everybody was so supportive. Same thing on my partner's side of the family. Everybody was so supportive. My partner had a real traumatic life because of the things that happened to her. I know, you know, I've been with her, like I tell you, for over 22 years. I noticed that, you know, yeah, she likes little kids, or she likes people. She's very social, but she never, ever, ever knew what it was like to love somebody 100% unconditionally. And I thought, what if having a little kid would give her that opportunity? Every day I sit there and I watch a miracle happen, because it's like, out of all the people on the face of the earth, my partner and this child found each other, and they have so much in common that I watched two people fall in love and love each other unconditionally. And it is the most beautiful thing that I get to witness every day that I wake up. And so, you know, every day, instead of saying, oh my gosh, why did I do this? You know, when she's throwing a tantrum, or she doesn't want to do something, or she's in trouble in school, or, you know, whatever. I don't say, oh my gosh, why did I do this? Instead, I know why I did this. I know why I did this. To be able to give somebody the opportunity to love. I know what it's like to love somebody unconditionally 100%, because I have my kids and my grandkids, but she didn't know then. So for her to be provided with that opportunity, it's beyond awesome. And I wish that I could bottle that so that people could either smell it and realize, or take a little sip of it and say, oh, is that what it's like to love somebody unconditionally? A child whose parents will never get that child back, and say, I can rescue a child. And, you know, and I wish I had magical powers like that, but I don't. Although the 30 years of training that I had, the training that I had with children with autism, my own kids, you know, because it's like, who has kids who are perfect kids? Nobody does, you know? Yes, this child had a very traumatic childhood. Let me put it to you this way. She's only 8 years old, and we are her ninth home. Okay? What does that tell you? And one of her problems was academics. And so one day she said to me, well, weren't you a teacher? I said, yes. So she said, well, then teach me. And I thought, you know what? She's got a point. And so we began working on her reading and her spelling and her math. And as her academics got better, her behavior got better. And yes, did she talk back? Yes. Did she throw tantrums? Yes. But you know what, like I tell you, in just 2 months, she's come so far. And I'm so proud of her. You know, praise, I wish that people also knew the power of praise. When you can give somebody a compliment, when you could tell them, good job. Oh my gosh, you're doing such a good job. That makes such a difference in a person's life. Because then they start looking at themselves a little bit differently, like, oh, I can do this? Okay, yeah, I can do this. And so with her, I use just the same theories or, you know, management style that I did with the kids that I taught for 30 years. I would always say, look, somebody has to be the best. Why not you? Somebody has to come in first place. Why not you? And so that's what I use with her, you know, and she's just a totally different person now. And like I tell you, we just came back from court. Parental rights have been terminated and we are now free to adopt her. Gosh, you know what? I would love to say, oh my gosh, you know, I can't wait for her to go to prom. Let's be realistic. I'm 65. Anybody could die at any minute. Anybody, okay? But realistically, you know, I'm over here handling Medicare, insurance papers, you know, different insurance that people in the United States need to get. And I'm also dealing with a second grader. How long will I be around? I don't know. But I am positive that for however long I get to be on Earth and I get to spend time with her, I can guarantee you that I will put so much into that little girl that one day she will be out in the world and be successful. That's what I know. I just wish that more people, like I tell you, I wish there was an easy solution. I wish that more people would start considering, at least thinking about, oh my gosh, over 400,000 foster kids in the United States. It's, you know, just start thinking, could I help at least one? It's, you know, it's not hard. It's not hard at all. Look, kids, honestly, look, kids are easy, okay? Do they have behavior problems? Of course they do. Don't we all? Yes. Kids want love. They want discipline. They want structure. They want a home. They want a family. They want to know that they're not going to be thrown away again. Kids are easy. They're easy.